Please don't wait till it's too late. Call McIntyre Elder Law.
Hi, this is Attorney Brenton Begley, and you're listening to the Elder Law Report. I'm with Attorney Samantha Gordon, and today we're going to talk about powers of attorney and guardianship. So, Samantha, you've done a lot of guardianships, a lot of good work in guardianships for our firm. You know, it's something I know you're passionate about. So why would a guardianship be something that a person maybe wants to avoid?
Sure. So when you have to have a guardianship established for an individual that has become incompetent, what's really happening is you get the court involved when the court really didn't have to be involved to begin with, if you had certain documents in place that could have avoided that. So with a guardianship, your loved ones have to petition the court to be appointed as the person that has become incompetent's guardian. And what really happens is you have a hearing and the court is the ultimate decision maker as to who is going to be managing this individual's rights. So it's going to be medical decisions. It's also going to be financial decisions. And you're really putting everything in the court's hands. And if the court does not believe that these individuals that have petitioned to be the guardian for this person are looking out for the best interest of this person, say it's mom, they could appoint a third party neutral individual that's going to be making mom's medical decisions and also handling mom's affairs, which is someone mom never would have thought would have done that. So, you know, putting rights at risk and having someone else that you don't even know managing your affairs is really a risk that you run if a guardianship proceeding has to happen.
Right. So basically what you're saying is, you know, the court's understanding is like, look, you could have done something to name an individual to act on your behalf for you if you were to become incompetent or incapacitated. So we didn't have to get involved. But if we do have to get involved, then you have to play by the rules of the game that we set.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
And so those rules can be rather restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
The court has to approve like major decisions that you make, even if you as a family member who, you know, petitioned the court, sought to become guardian, if they pick you, right, which they have the ability to not pick you, pick somebody else. But if they do pick you and you want to do things that are in the best interest of that individual, you may still need to get court approval to do that.
Yeah, like selling a house, for example. You have to petition the court to do that if it's that individual's house that now is under that guardianship.
Right. So how about what if you want to put a, you know, trust in place, but a house in a trust? Is that something you can do without court approval?
Nope. You need the court to approve that.
Interesting. So it sounds like you have, you know, some micromanagement going on with respect to the court. And, you know, that, you know, would be a hearing that you would petition the court to have, and you need to get approval. And, you know, there's attorney's fees there. There's further costs that can be incurred by, you know, requesting that the court approve certain actions that you take.
Yeah.
What about if you get appointed as guardian over their money and property? Is there any type of reporting requirements to the court, anything like that?
Yeah, so you actually have to report an annual accounting to the court every year. So that's going to show what has been happening with that individual's financial affairs. And the court has to approve it. And if they don't like what they're seeing, you have to provide additional documentation to show why these transactions happen. So it can be very overwhelming for family members. It can also just be a really big headache where if you had documents in place that could have avoided this guardianship altogether, you know, you wouldn't have to go through that.
Interesting. Yeah. So, you know, when it comes to money too, it sounds like if something happens to the money, something happens to the property, you know, I guess the question would be who's liable for that?
So I think that when you're a guardian, you're taking on a lot of responsibility and you need to make sure that whatever you're doing, when the court sees what you're doing, making sure that, you know, it's going to be what the court would approve. And if you're doing anything that maybe there's a client that's a guardian and, you know, they hired an attorney to help them with the guardianship hearing, but then they go solo and they're just have become the guardian and they're just managing the financial affairs without having any help from an attorney. And they may think that they're doing something innocent or, you know, they're trying to help within the best interest of that person with something with their affairs, but they do something that they shouldn't have done, you know, they could be admonished by the court and possibly have a hearing and have to then, you know, explain what they did in front of a clerk or a judge. And really, they could be in trouble for that based on what they did with really not a malicious intent behind that.
Right. And I guess the court also assumes that there's that possibility that something like that could happen, even if it's a mistake or an omission, something like that. And they would require that individual who's handling the money to be bonded, right? Correct. Which is like, you know, a surety bond, which you post a one-time premium for. And then, you know, that ensures that the estate would be paid back if something like that were to happen.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, all right, so we get it. Guardianship can be a dangerous process, especially if you're not using an attorney, especially if you don't have the right type of advice. And it should be something that you avoid unless it's necessary. Sometimes guardianship's necessary. And you've done a few of those where we've sat down with a, you know, potential petitioner and have determined, hey, you know, this is a necessary path to be able to make decisions in the best interest of a family member. But what can we do to prevent from ever even getting there?
Yeah. So when I'm sitting down with a client, you know, a lot of people come into our offices for consultation and thinking about what documents should I have in place when I pass away. But really, you should also be thinking about what documents should you have while you're alive, because you want to make sure that you have a legal vehicle in which you've chosen someone that has legal authority to make your decisions for you while you're alive, if you cannot do so yourself. And that's through powers of attorney. So there's a general durable power of attorney that allows you to appoint someone in your life that you trust to manage your financial affairs for you while you're alive, if in the event you cannot do so yourself. And that's protecting your rights through your financial affairs. And then your healthcare power of attorney, if you become incompetent, appointing an agent, someone that you trust to make your medical decisions for you, if you cannot make your own medical decisions. So that's like hiring and firing doctors, making decisions on medical treatment, things like that, to ensure that you have appointed the person that you trust to make sure that they're handling your affairs for you. And having these powers of attorney would avoid having a guardianship. But as you said, there have been situations in which a guardianship may be necessary. So if you appoint an agent in this power of attorney and they're misusing the power of attorney, that could possibly be a reason why we need to pursue guardianship for another family member if the individual has become incompetent to manage that person's affairs.
Sure, sure. And very, you know, good point. You know, so what I hear you saying is if you have power of attorney in place with the right person who can, you know, act on your behalf correctly, right? Like they haven't passed away, the agent that you name is not incompetent, they're doing a good job or are able to do a good job. Essentially, power of attorney obviates the need or eliminates the need for any guardianship in the future. And mm-hmm. So it's important to name an agent, maybe a few backups just in case the primary one that you name is unavailable. So there's never a need for guardianship. So I guess that begs the question, well, if I do put a power of attorney in place and I name a trusted family member, could maybe another family member seek guardianship of me and get it in the future?
I mean, they could try, but they're going to need a basis upon why the power of attorney is invalid or why that person should not be the agent for an individual that has become incompetent.
Okay. And so the law provides that, you know, if you're seeking guardianship, you first have to find the least restrictive alternative, which would be a power of attorney. So, you know, we've been able to, you know, advocate for clients, and elder law attorneys across the state, including us, have pushed for the change in legislation, which we finally got this year, saying that, look, if before we do a drastic measure, the guardianship, we're going to first look and see, number one, is there a power of attorney in place, or can there be a power of attorney put in place so that we don't have to get the court involved and, you know, take away people's rights and liberties and adjudicate them incompetent?
Yeah, in 2024, with that least restrictive alternative standard, guardianships are really the last resort now in North Carolina. And even if there is no power of attorney, is there a way that maybe a guardianship does need to be established, but it could be a limited guardianship where it's not completely taking away the rights of that individual? So there's different, you know, means in which you can get to that end.
Right. And, you know, another thing, too, is at some point, guardianship can be a possibility. And one of the things that I try to advise clients to do is if you put things in place, like a trust, for example, especially a trust that becomes irrevocable if you do become incompetent or incapacitated, that keeps the court's authority over assets limited, allows you to pre-designate who's going to take care of that, someone called like a trustee. So that helps strengthen that estate plan. So even if the power of attorney, you know, is somehow overcome, even if guardianship is established, you have assets in trust that are being protected for you and managed by the individual that you picked when you were competent. So awesome. Well, sounds like that, you know, power of attorney is one of the foundational documents that anybody should have in their estate plan. And that, you know, if we're going to talk about something, you know, that's priority that you should have, it sounds like power of attorney is going to be one of those things. Is there anything else that you want to tell our listeners about powers of attorney?
Just that whenever you are thinking about your estate plan, if you have one in place, you know, looking at those powers of attorney and seeing what kind of power of attorney that you have, because they can be drafted very differently. So, for example, in North Carolina, there's a statutory form, which is kind of like a fill in the blank power of attorney. And sometimes it doesn't give your agent the necessary authority that they need for a specific situation that comes up where they need that authority and need to manage that for you. So if you have a power of attorney that is limiting and doesn't have enumerated powers within it, it actually may not be effective. So you want to make sure that when you have these documents done, they're comprehensive documents and they really allow your agent to manage all of your affairs in any type of situation that might come up.
Right. Exactly. I mean, not all powers of attorney are created equal. We do not have a crystal ball. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. Right. So it's best to, you know, empower the individual that we trust with the ability to do anything that we could do on our own behalf, just in case they need to do something that we haven't anticipated. Very good point. Well, thank you, Sam. And this has been the Elder Law Report. If you guys have questions about powers of attorney or guardianship, give us a call, 704-259-7040. Or what is the Charlotte number, Sam?
It is 704-749-9244.
Or visit us online at mcelderlaw.com. Thank you, Sam.
Yeah.
Life is busy, we all know. We put off planning till things get slow. Tomorrow's never promised today. Don't get too busy and let it all slip away. Don't wait till it's too late. Call McIntyre Elder Law. Foundational planning or more complex, we can help when you're perplexed. If a loved one needs long-term care, we can help avoid some of the scare. Please don't wait till it's too late. Call McIntyre Elder Law. Estate planning, benefits, and even probate, we take the planning piece off your plate. If you or your spouse were in the military, we can help with benefits for your family. Don't wait till it's too late. Call McIntyre Elder Law.